We're here to talk sophrology. We talk to Lani every 4 weeks about sophrology. And of course, Lani, tell us what sophrology is. So in case anyone is going, what does that word mean?
Well, it means the conscious harmony of your whole person well-being. So mind, body, spirit, breath, and consciousness. Basically, what it does is creates happiness and calm in your body, in your mind, in your whole person strategy, so that in times of emergency, like having no power, you can stay calm and happy.
That sounds good. Today, you wanted to talk about sound and how we speak.
Yes.
I'm curious because we haven't talked about something like this before. I don't know how that ties in, or even what you mean exactly.
So your as far as the tones that you make with your voice and the tones that your brain hears. So according to Andrew Huberman, if I don't know whether you know him or not, or have listened to any of his podcasts.
I'm aware of him. Yeah.
Yeah. So low frequency sounds will trigger low frequency neurons in your brain. So this calms the nervous system, and also your bodily responses will be calm. So the tones in your head are like low end notes on an emotional piano, or low end notes in like a bass guitar or a bass or cello, string instrument. The low tones that you hear, and this actually is very soft to the mind, to the heart, and it can really help with your emotional well-being. So a lot of time, have you ever been in your industry, people talking about you, oh, you have a voice for radio?
As I've got older, they've started to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably a sign that I'm wearing my throat out.
Right. It's getting lower in tone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a voice for meditation because my, not when I'm talking to you on the radio, but when I'm actually making recordings for my meditations, yeah. I can make it lower and more calm and soothing. And so in meditation, which is one of the techniques we use in sophrology, we speak softly and with a lower tone, and it helps to create calm for people because of the neurons that are firing in your brain.
So I just want to leap in with something that I've figured out, which is probably not very good interviewing, but when we make that sound, we go, like that. Like that's a sound of we're calming down, and I realize our pitch, the pitch of the voice is going down as we do it.
Yeah, exactly. There's actually a breathing strategy called happy heart breathing that I teach, where you do three inhales and you imagine the breath coming up from your belly up to your chest and all the way up to the top of your head. So you're filling up your whole body with breath. And then when you can't breathe in anymore and you hold it for a second, and then you just breathe out with a smile on your face. And it actually will create happiness, and you may chuckle and laugh outside or out loud.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about, is the tones that you make, and being able to breathe those tones, to speak those tones, to say those tones, either to yourself or to other people, adjusting your voice. Like when you want to have a conversation with someone, or you're doing a presentation, critical conversations that you're having, if you adjust the tone of your voice and then you speak words that are uplifting and energizing, you oftentimes will have a better those conversations will go so much better, either with yourself or with a person that you're talking to.
Lani, does this mean men have a bit of an advantage here?
It can be. Like sometimes when I am not being able to sleep at night, I'll turn on like a man's voice, like Deepak Chopra, or a low meditative tone, and it will lull me back to sleep.
Right.
So yeah, men's voices can definitely, but honestly, it really depends on the words you're saying. There's so many factors that go into it, because if you're speaking your tone, in a tone, but your words aren't appropriate, and you're using like low energy words that are insulting or degrading, that's still not helpful. You're still, creating anxiety and stress for another person.
Yeah. It's not just like one. It's not just a button you push. You got to actually.
Yeah.
You kind of got to mean it.
Like. So there's an. Have you heard of the rice water experiment?
No, I have not.
Where you speak to rice in water, and it changes based on the words you speak to it and the tone and the way that you speak to it.
How does it?
So
it's just normal rice, yeah. Like we cook, sitting in water. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, here's an experiment that a family could do right now while they don't have any power. If they have water and rice in their house,
yeah.
get two jars, put rice in, you know, a jar in both jars, and then put some, you know, just cover it with water, and then label it. One is like the love jar, and the other one is the hate jar. And then start, you know, it has to be over the course of a couple of weeks. You take the love jar and you put it someplace where it's bright and illuminated, and you start speaking really uplifting, empowering words to it. I love you. I'm grateful that you're here. Like all of these happy, confident words you speak to the love jar. And then you take the other jar and you put it somewhere dark and gloomy, and you speak really mean, hateful words to that. Like if you're feeling anger and you want to take your anger out on something, go take it out on the hate jar. And then in a couple of weeks, bring it back together and see what you've got going on. And the love jar will be white, fluffy rice, and the hate jar will be dark and gloomy and miserable.
Is part of that because it's been in a dark place?
I mean, it's in darkness, and so it's all of the things. So it's in darkness. You're not saying nice things to it. You're saying words in a mean, terrible way. All of these things. So with the scientific aspect, what's going on? I can't explain it in scientific terms, but basically there's a reaction, a chemical reaction that happens in the water. So the water is actually, sensitive to what you say to it. It's people, in the water, not the rice. It's in the water.
I know that people are going to struggle. Some people are going to struggle to hear that and think it all sounds a little bit too much.
Go find it on YouTube. The rice water experiment. Look it up.
Do it yourself. If you want to prove it, do it yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess that's the way to put it. That has certain implications for how we raise our children, I feel.
Yes, it definitely does. Or for how we raise our children and for ourselves, because we talk to ourselves all the time, right? So the stories that we tell ourselves, the stories that we're telling other people, the things we're saying to our children, how we're raising them, how we're speaking to them, all of these things will have an effect on your emotional well-being.
Yeah, in our culture, we're legendary for the poor way that we talk about ourselves to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the story that you're telling yourself. Like,
can I ask, because you spent a lot of your life in the U.S., are people in the U.S. better at that? Are they better? They have better self-talk than in New Zealand? I'm imagining they might. The people in the U.S. have in the past at least been famously positive about everything.
Yeah, you know, I don't have any kind of study to refer to as far as that goes. In the space where I grew up, I could say, yeah, there's more positive talk. I've been here in New Zealand for 10 years now, and yeah, I feel brighter and cheery, more cheery when I'm in the States than I do in New Zealand.
Okay. Well, there we go. It is like, so I've had the experience of like rock climbing when I was young, and I was climbing in Canada, and there was a American guy belaying me one day, and it was very uplifting. He was super positive. Not like the New Zealanders that I was climbing with, not like me, and it did enhance the experience.
Yeah,
I felt. Yeah,
I think it would depend on your life experience and the people you're hanging out with. I mean, there's definitely positive energy happening in New Zealand, and people, you know, that you can hang out with. Especially in the environment that my family's in, like going to marathons and. The things that we choose to engage in. And so it really comes down to the choices that you're making and who you're hanging out with and the activities that you're engaging in your life and the food that you're eating, how well you're sleeping. Like there's so much that impacts our well-being, our whole person well-being. And it's just really about knowing yourself well enough and then being able to pay attention to those things that are going to uplift and energize you.
And then how we speak, which is what you started with.
Yeah. So there's, you know, we talk about affirmations a lot, and a lot of people don't like affirmations because they think they're just words, but they are just words. But affirmations, I mean, your words can be give you a positive charge or a negative charge. And when you're speaking "I am" affirmations, they're actually generating a positive energy, which will propel you into a productive, progressive space of potential, like your body aura. So you think of it like plugging in your phone. If you're not plugging in your phone, you don't have any energy to use your phone, right? Well, positive yeah. I am affirmations are actually energizing you and giving you strength to keep going. It's a power level. So, you know, you guys are out in with no power right now in Raglan, but you can actually create power for yourself by the words that you're speaking and looking at your abundance. Like, you can't turn on your electricity right now. Okay, but what can you do? Looking at the abundance and focusing on what you have, what you can do, what you have control over. When you focus on your power, because you have personal power, then what can you achieve when the power around you is out, right?
Yeah, this is reminding me of practicing gratitude and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, practicing gratitude, just being observant of the words you're saying, the focus of your mind, what you're focused on. Are you empowering yourself or are you disempowering yourself? I have an exercise that I do with people. It's called the Power of Three exercise to manage stress and anxiety. And we just go through three statements, three things that define who you are and then who you are not. And then there's some other things that we go through. So if any of your listeners are interested, if they email me, I can send them the Power of Three exercise and they can try it themselves.
What is your email while we're mentioning it?
Yep. Sophrosolus. SOPHRO, Sophrosolus @gmail.com. Or no, Sophrosolus is that what it is? Yeah, Sophrosolus @gmail.com. Sorry.
You don't send emails to yourself, do you? So you don't know.
Right. And I was also thinking, like, my website is Sophrosolus.com. So
yeah.
I get them. Yeah. So anyway, anywhere where you can find Sophrosolus, also on social media, you can send me a message or an email. And I can send out this Power of Three exercise that helps you it gives you power, your power. You're going to tell your power story. You're going to identify how you have power, focus on what you have, focus on what you can do. Yeah, giving yourself power, because you are the person that's in control, and you can either disengage and give away your power, or you can choose to use your power based on the words that you're speaking to yourself.
So you've been, I don't want to say experimenting on yourself, but something like that. You've been doing sophrology, you know, in your life for a long time. You've probably become a bit more sensitive than like I would be to words. So do you notice the different feeling and the different energy that comes from the way you're talking?
I definitely noticed that. There's, you know, I mean, no one's life is perfect. Every coach will tell you that they have their own problems. And I definitely noticed that. So when I get myself into a state of despair, sometimes I'll sit with it for a little while. And then, you know, I'll get to that place of, wait a second, I'm giving my power away and I need to be doing the things that I actually coach people to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, then I start telling myself I do the Power of Three exercise, or I do some breathing. Well, I start with breathing. Always start with breathing, because when you breathe properly, you clear your mind of that fog that's keeping you stuck. And once I get into a space of clarity, then I can start empowering myself with different exercises and strategies that I use and that I teach. And yeah, I mean, the thing is that we can really defeat ourselves with the trauma, right? We can trigger ourselves. We can stay in the trauma and leave ourselves there and not get out of it. But that's not productive in your life. And it also is really bad for your health. It's bad for your brain. It's bad for your sleep. So it's really important to keep yourself in a productive state, eating well, sleeping well, exercising, speaking words to yourself in tones that will energize and help you. And so, you know, a lot of times we can breathe in the I am statements and say things like, inhaling, I am happy, and then exhaling, I am calm, and exhaling, and I am brave, I am loved, you know, and just as you're doing that, you're inhaling. And then when you exhale, you speak the words, I am flexible, I am peaceful, and speaking that as you're exhaling, saying those words as they come, as the breath comes out of your mouth, you're sending that message out into the universe, and your brain and body are also hearing you say those things. So you're tuning into your mind body and allowing yourself to become empowered by the words that you're speaking.
Do you need to kind of say it? This is going to sound weird. I can't think of any other way to say it. Do you need to kind of mean it when you say it?
Like, you do. Yeah, you need to believe in it. I mean, at first, maybe you're not going to, you know, because, yeah, you've been defeated for such a long time, or there's actually been people in your lives that have pushed you down to that corner of defeat. And yeah, you need to be able to get to a point where you can actually say and believe those things, and having a coach helping you do that to validate your life experience, recognizing that, yeah, you've been through some rough times, and you know, how can we arise above those things? So being able to validate, recognizing a space of belonging, that's for us as humans, we desire validation, we desire belonging, and we're creative human beings, and we want to be creative in whatever aspect we can. And when those things, when we're pushed down and the words we speak to ourselves or other people are saying these things to us, we get so stuck that we can't do those things. And so our spiritual energy is deprived of what it wants to do naturally. And that's where we become emotionally unwell. So being validated, creating a sense of belonging so that you can then have the energy and the empowerment to create. Those are the things that will help you to get through all of this.
Something I was thinking about on the weekend actually was the headspace. Like one way of describing what you're doing is you're trying to change the headspace from an unhappy to a happier one. Like go up that scale. And I have sort of noticed in the last few years, like if I'm really honest with myself, that a lot of the my brain's always telling me things. It's always thinking, dwelling on things, and speaking stuff. And if I'm in a really down place, it keeps coming up with lots of more negative things to think about. Like an endless stream of negative things, and it can be really hard to find something positive to think about. And if someone comes in all bright and cheery and all positive, you kind of really, you don't like that very much. Mm-hmm. So I guess, yep. I mean, are we talking about the same thing here? Like that's part of it?
Yeah. So, I mean, what we're talking about is the serotonin that's in your body. So that's the brain balance that we work with in sophrology is to help you identify happy moments in your life to start developing serotonin and dopamine and oxytocin in your body, because those are the things that's the clear energy, the endorphins, these things that are going to the chemicals in your body. You have to alter the chemicals in your body in a natural way. So we're not reaching for a substance to create dopamine in our body. We're actually using our brains and the natural elements of our body in order to create serotonin, dopamine, oxytocin, and those endorphins that we need in order to get ourselves into a space of happiness where then we can validate, belong, and create. You're right. You can get so stuck And when you get so stuck, you've got cortisol shooting through your body and all of these negative things are happening in your body, which those are the chemicals that you're sending to your brain. And then you can't move. You can't function. You're in a state of, you know, despair and woe is me and I'm never going to get out of this. So you literally have to take control and create the power for yourself. You can't point your fingers at other people and think that other people are responsible for your happiness and your health and well-being.
That won't increase your serotonin levels.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can have happy memories and, you know, like I do a meditation where it's a rainbow of happiness and we focus on color and happiness in the body and how that feels. And so a lot of times that's one of the ones that I use for when myself or other people are getting in despair is lying there and empowering myself to think of happy memories. What are those times in my life where I've been happy and accessing those? And that starts to create the serotonin and the dopamine. And
right.
That then helps my body move towards the space of creativity and you know, helping myself be energized throughout the day.
So rather than using a pill to increase the amount of serotonin in our head, there are actual things we can do. And you're talking about the things that we think about are going to do that if we think about the things, the right things.
It starts with your thoughts. When you're having healthy thoughts, you're able to think more clearly and then realize and then decide on the next step and the thing you should do. There's actually foods that have serotonin in them that you can eat those foods. So if you get yourself into a space of happy thoughts, then you can think, okay, what should I eat that will help to create serotonin in my body?
Is chocolate one of them?
Dark chocolate is.
Dark chocolate. There's, okay. That's what people are hoping you would say. See?
Yeah. Dark chocolate is definitely a healthy thing to reach for. Not a lot of it. And the reason for dark chocolate is because there's less sugar in it. Sugar is very unhealthy for your body. You should not reach for ice cream or alcohol when you're in a state of despair.
Yep. Yep. Come in. Shut the door. Yeah. Oh, I've just got the next interview. I've got three people turned up, Lani, in the studio. And they've shut the door so I can't hear the generator anymore, which I'm very pleased about. So, obviously that's time for us to wrap up. Had you finished that little paragraph there that you were describing?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I've just kind of been going off the top of my head in this interview, so.
My questions do that to people.
that's okay.
So, yeah, so I think it might be interesting for people to know that there's other ways of increasing serotonin than having pills and things like that. So people want to follow that up, well, just remind us of your website again so people can check that out.
Yep, sofrosolas.com. And if you'd like the Power of Three exercise, then just click me an email, sofrosolas@gmail.com, and I'll send it out to you.
Okay, and can you spell Sofro for us as well?
Sophro. Sofrosolas.
All right,
gmail.com.
Well, thank you for talking to us this morning, Lani, and congratulations on being in a town currently that has electricity. That was a good move.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron, and good luck with your electricity today.
Yeah, hopefully we get it back around lunch like they promised.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Okay, Lani, see ya.